today. I've loved all the special music, all of it talking about God's blessing and God's goodness. I tell you, you get focused on that and that'll help you a great deal. I hope you won't miss Monday or Tuesday night. We're going to talk about God being so good to us and the change that makes in our lives. And I just want to help you. I'm going to preach a two-part series, Monday night and Tuesday night, on how to keep from backsliding. How to keep from backsliding. I think every one of us can use that. And because if you've been saved long, you've either backslid some or you're about to. And you can get back up there where you need to be, and the Lord will use it. He'll use it in a mighty way. Now let's take our Bibles and let's turn back to Psalm 119, the same passage we were this morning. Title of my message this afternoon is God is still working. God is still working. And Pastor Pease, thank you for inviting me to be in your church. I appreciate it so much. This man is such a gracious man, thoughtful to me, and treats me like one of his sons. I tell you, he's just so worried about me. He's worried about me that I'm going to be all right and everything, and I just appreciate him so much. The book table, my wife be back there. We have a teen packet back there of some books that made up for just teenagers. That's an awesome little packet if you want to get that, or individual books for teens, as well as some CDs. One CD my wife did on God Maketh the Storms, and it's just wonderful. Of course, anything my wife does is wonderful to me anyhow. And so you ladies would benefit to hear her part of the, her side of it. You've heard my side, now you can get to hear her side of it. And just some other things back there. In Psalm 119, verse 124, deal with thy servant according unto thy mercy, and teach me thy statutes. I am thy servant, give me understanding that I may know thy testimonies. It is time for thee, Lord, to work, for they have made void thy law. Let's read that together out loud. You ready? It is time for thee, Lord, to work, for they have made void thy law. Therefore I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. Therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. Lord, please fill me with your spirit. Lord, deal with every one of us today. Whatever it is you need to deal with us about, I pray you'll do it during this message. I love you, Lord. Thank you for loving me and being so good to me. Thank you for the good singing that's praised you. Thank you for a dear pastor that's compassionate and gracious to me. Lord, I just pray that I'll be a blessing to this church. And my prayer is in Jesus' name. Amen. Notice that little phrase, deal with thy servant. Now, I've been praying, and I'm praying God will do it, that he'll deal with every one of us here today. This afternoon, deal with me. Sometimes God deals with people about salvation. If you're here today and you're lost, God brought you here to deal with you about your soul. And he wants to deal with your heart, to soften that hard heart to where you'll open that door and let Jesus Christ come in. God deals with people about that. Now, this morning, I said God works through prayer and God works through problems. This afternoon, I want to give you two other P's. God works through preaching. Do you know God deals with people when preaching is going on? And it's not always what the preachers say. Sometimes God deals with you about something else that you would have no idea whatsoever. But God deals with you, and he does it under the preaching of the Word of God. I love to preach. I like to tell funny things that have happened to me because I like to cheer people up. And sometimes when they hear some of the things that have happened to me, it cheers them up a little bit. They know, wow, I'm not the dumbest person in the world. I tell people I'm the dumbest preacher in America. But I got this saying, it's all right to be dumb as long as you know you're dumb. It's danger if you're dumb and don't know it. Then you're in trouble. But I like to tell little stories, and they seem to help. I was by myself on a trip, and I had to catch a plane connection in this city to go to where I wanted to go. The plane was late leaving, so we were late getting to the airport where I needed to make my connection. So I got there and only had 10 minutes to go from Concourse A to Concourse G and find my gate. And so I got there and I thought this, well, I'm going to run for it because maybe my plane late getting in. So I'm going to run. Now me, a run is sort of like a fast walk to you. But I was going hard as could. And I got down there, and it was one of those areas where they had a small planes going out. And they had a door for each plane, and they had a big seating area for everybody for these different doors to sit in this one area. It wasn't like a gate with its own seats. And I came running down there, and I saw this lady about to shut the door. I waved my ticket, and I said, please stop, please let me on. I made it, please let me on. She said, wow, you just about missed it, sir, but I'll let you on. She took my ticket, let me get on the plane. I got in there on the plane, got my seat, and put my two pieces of luggage up. And the plane backed up, and something had never happened before to me. It stopped, pulled back up, opened the door, and on walked four armed guards. Now, I remember seeing them and think, boy, somebody in trouble. I right, it was me. What had happened? After she let me on the plane, a little time passed, and then she put it under that little machine, and it kicked my name out. I wasn't on the right plane. Now, that is one of the great dangers that happened at 9/11. They came late, too late to be checked. And so when that happened, that lady stopped that plane and brought it back up there. And those men came back there, walked directly to me, and two got behind me and two in front of me, and they got my luggage down and they went searching through it. By this time they realized I was an idiot. I wasn't really a terrorist. And so they checked through my stuff, and they said, okay, sir, we realize what happened. You got on the wrong plane. And they asked me where I was going. I told them, and they realized I'm on the wrong plane. Said, let's go. They said, we'll bring your luggage. And two of them walking in front of me carrying one piece, and two behind me carrying other piece. And I'm walking, and only thing I knew to do was cry. Because I could just picture myself going to prison. I didn't want a prison ministry, but it looked like I was about to have one. One of them said, sir, don't cry. We're not going to take you into custody. I didn't believe him. I thought that's what they tell everybody right before they throw the key away. So we're making our way up the ramp. The lady that had let me on, she's standing there up and holding door. And one of the men said, Mr. Bishop, don't cry. What are you crying for now? We're not arresting you. I said, son, I'm crying now because I missed my plane and I don't know when I'm going to catch the next one. That lady said, no, sir, you haven't missed your plane. The alarm I sent out shut the whole airport down. My plane was still sitting over there. I got an armed escort to my airplane. Wow. I tell you, God sure took care of me, didn't he? Sometimes he has shut the whole airport down. But, you know, the Lord does help us when we're trying to do his will. And we may not be good at it. I'm not good at preaching. I know that. I know there's a lot of people can preach better than me. I know that. I don't preach because I think I better somebody else. I preach because I believe God want me to preach. Amen. And I want to help people. I want to be a blessing. I like to cheer people up. I like to encourage people. I like to see people saved. Amen. And I get to see people saved. And it's a blessing. My heart was disappointed this morning. Nobody got saved. I was so disappointed. I was hurting inside. And told my Lord, I'm sorry if my fault. Somebody didn't get saved. But I want you to know God works through preaching. There's been many a time God has dealt with me about my sin through preaching. Sometimes God deals with us about our sin as the preacher preaches. It may be something he never even mentioned, but just being under preaching, God speaks to heart about it and deals with you. Maybe some habit that you have. Maybe some words you've been speaking. Maybe it's a temper that you've got. Whatever it is, if God's dealing with you, listen to him and yield yourself to him. He's a good God and he knows what's best for you. And so God works through preaching. I remember I was preaching in a city where I was still blind. I mean, so blind. See, you can be legally blind and even still drive a car if you've got glasses that work good enough for you to see. I don't have glasses that work that good yet, but I can read and I can see some things, and I just don't have depth perception and far off sight yet. Good enough. I'm praying I'll get that. I'd love to drive again one of these days. Would you ride with me, Donna? If you wouldn't. Okay. Well, there's one person I ain't going to take. I was at this church and I wasn't feeling good at all. And what I would do is I would preach that night, shake just a few hands, and have the pastor take me back to my room so I could lay down. I just heard him quite a bit. And so I did that, and the third night, the young people came to Pastor and said, "Pastor, we haven't got to shake Brother John hand yet. By the time we get there, he's already left." And so the pastor got up that night and announced this. He said, "We're going to be different tonight. Brother John going to be it back. He's not been feeling very well, so he hasn't gotten to shake the teens' hands. We're going to let all the teenagers line up and shake his hand first. And then adults behind them, and if Brother John have to leave, he'll miss you tonight." And so I said, "That good. I look forward to it. I love teenagers." And so they came up. Now, I was still so blind, I could not tell whether it's a man or woman that I was shaking hands. I was having to use the cane to get anywhere. I couldn't see as good as I do now. And so they would come up. I had my hand out. They'd shake my hand. I would ask them what grade they're in, how old they are, just things like that. I shook another hand. And I said, "Now, how old are you?" It got quiet, and this lady said, "Now, Brother John, you're not supposed to ask a lady her age." I said, "Oh, I'm sorry. How much do you weigh?" I thought I'd done blown it once. I might as well do it again. But I love it when young people like to hear me preach. I love that. And I like it when people say to me, now you don't have to say it because I say in this, here's something I want you to know about me. When people say to me, "Brother John, you look good," I like that because sometimes I'm feeling terrible, but at least it doesn't show. See? So I love that. I've got it hidden good enough where some people, if they're not feeling good, boy, they show it everywhere. I don't want to be that way. If I'm not feeling good, I want to hide it so people don't know. And I will always be honest with people if they ask me how I feel. If I'm not feeling great, I don't say great. I say fair, maybe. I've done better at times. I might say that. Just different things that I've found that I can be honest about and still be able to give an answer. But God works through preaching, and he deals with us. Sometimes it's sin. Sometimes it's service. Sometimes God deals with people about serving him. You know, it would be wonderful if some young person surrender to the will of God in this meeting. Maybe some young man would surrender to preach the word of God one day. And they would come. I started as a teenager, my mom told me. I preached when I was 15 and 16 years old. Matter of fact, I was interim pastor for a little country church, Bethel Baptist Church, in Goose Pimple Junction, Virginia. There's really a town named that, Goose Pimple Junction, population 29. That's where I started my preaching career. But God has been good to me. But God dealt with me as a young man to begin to preach the gospel, preach the word of God. And I try to be faithful to preach the word of God. And my theme has become God is good and God is right, because those two things about God is what brought me through the hardship and trials that I had in those early days after illness. when the cluster migraines would take place and the seizures would take place, my scooter wrecks caused me to have back problems. And so I have a pain pump installed in my body, and it's right here under the skin, and it shoots pain medicine over to my back so I can stand up. I got to the point where I was crawling around the house. I couldn't get up hardly. And so the pain pump helps me quite a bit. I remember my first scooter wreck. I was flying down the road at 35 miles an hour. I was on a highway that was two lane, and the speed limit 55. This trucker, tired of following me going 35, not knowing that's all I could go, I had it wide open, and he flew past me, probably going 65. I don't know if you've ever been on the interstate and had one of those truckers go past you real quick, and the wind can even rattle the car. Well, the wind of this thing rattled me, not my car. I headed to the side of the road, and I hit gravel. And when I hit gravel, those tires slid out from under me, and the scooter and me went sliding down alongside the road. Well, this car behind me, he saw what happened, so he stopped and made sure I'm all right. Well, I don't talk real good anytime, but when I'm real nervous, I worse. And I took my helmet off, began to talk to him, and he said, "You're drunk." I said, "No, I'm not drunk. I'm a Baptist preacher." And somebody that knew me stopped behind me, and they came up and they said, "Brother John, you all right?" I said, "Tell him I'm not drunk, and I will be." He was going to call police on me. And he said, "No, Brother John, not drunk. He just that way since meningitis." And put me in his car and hauled me home. I always got a ride home, no matter how many times I wrecked. Methodists would pick me up, just anybody alongside the road. And my Donna would see me coming, and her and the boys would get the truck and go get my scooter and bring it back. I could usually get four or five good wrecks out of each scooter. And one time I hit a cow, and that's the only wreck I got out of that one. That thing was a mess, I tell you. But God been good to help me, hadn't he? I reckon. Now, my last point is God works through people. All right? Through prayer, through preaching, through problems, and then through people. People that love God. Let me tell you something. If you can love, you can still help. Loving God, loving others. I don't know anybody world I don't love. I love some more than I love others, but I don't know anybody I don't love. And you say, "John, what about people that have made fun of you?" Oh, I've had that happen. I've been called names, retardo, and things like that. That hurts. That hurts, it does. But I still love them. They don't know better. And we need to love other people. We need to love the unlovely. Amen. We need to love people that are struggling and hurting. We need to love them. You can love somebody to Jesus. Yes, you can do that. And but people that love, people that serve. Oh, I thank God for people who serve. I thank God for people who serve in nurseries. you lock me up with five screaming babies and see what happens. You'll have a disaster on your hand. And if I'm around when somebody gets sick and throw up, you got two problems, buddy. You got two of them. Because I've got a weak stomach, I tell you I do. And we need to realize that everybody has something they can do for God. Everybody. Some can sing in the choir. Not everybody can sing in choir. We just be honest about it. Some of us not made much for singing. But we can sing along when the hymns are being sung, can't we, brother?
Yes, sir.
Brother Fire. We can sing with you and lift our voices and just use that to praise the Lord. And that is so good when you do that. God wants to use our voices. Wants to use our voices. And people that believe God's right and His word is right. He says, therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right. Every one of them, not just some of them, not just part of them, not just the big things, but everything. I consider your word on any subject, on any matter, to be right. I don't believe I evolved here. I believe God made man. He made them as adults and put them in a garden. And put trees around them and fruit and all kinds of things. But told them, don't touch this tree. Don't eat this tree. And they went ahead and did it anyhow. Adam and Eve. And sin started in this world. That's how I believe sin and death got in this world. I don't believe it evolved into this world. I believe it happened right there when they disobeyed God.
Amen.
I still believe it wrong for homosexuality. I still believe what the Bible says about that.
Amen.
I tell people this, at least when I woke up, I knew I post-kiss a woman, not a man. Somebody needed to tell them that in California. But I believe the Word of God is right. No matter what it touches on, I believe it's right. And it's precious to me. I remember when I couldn't read it, I would lay it on my chest and hug it. Thank God for it.
Amen.
Ask God to help me read it again. And He's allowed me to do that. I mainly stay in passages that I've read a lot and studied a lot so that it's easier for me to read. I'm not a real good reader, but I love the Word of God. I love it. You know, one of the things that happened was we were with a Christian medical share program when I became ill. And this Christian medical share program, it didn't have the safeguards that ones have now. There's still some of them out there. I don't know what the Obamacare going to do to them. I just don't know. But we were part of one by conviction. We felt like we can help other Christians. That's better than just putting our money to an insurance company. Little did we know, the man that started the one that we were part of when I got sick ran off and stole $2 million. And left people like me and others hanging there owing thousands of dollars. It takes a lot of money to keep somebody alive that has meningitis. And so we owed thousands of dollars. There, my dear Donna had a husband that couldn't read or write, more like a child than an adult. Owing thousands of dollars to hospitals and doctors. So we set up accounts with each one of them, and we'd send some $20 and some $15, some $10 a month, and we just set that up, and it took us 5 years to get out of debt from that original sickness. But we did. We paid it all off. And I want you to know, we never robbed God of his tithe and offering. Never one time. The tithe and offering to God always came first. Then the bills came second. Amen. Always keep God first in your life.
Amen.
And God will bless that. He really will.
Yes, he does.
And we don't owe now a doctor, hospital, anywhere, anything. I rejoice so much, so grateful to God. But we've had to pay a lot. And I was in and out of hospital quite a bit after the original onset of the meningitis because of other things that I had happening and going on. But God has provided and God has helped. We couldn't get insurance then because it was always pre-existing condition. When you got brain damage, they can almost write you off on anything. And so that was something that happened to us. My Don and I are building our dream mobile home. Other people building a dream home, we're building a dream mobile home. We got a mobile home. It's a double wide trailer. We've put cabinets in it. And wow, my son, who is a master plumber, one of my sons, a master plumber, I had him to surprise his mother for me, and we took out this plastic garden tub that was in the master bath, and he took that out and put in a fiberglass jacuzzi in there for her. I told my boys, I said, you can't call me trailer trash no more. Trailer trash don't have no jacuzzi in them, I tell you. But I tell you, God been mighty good to me. He's been good to both of us. And I thank the Lord for it. And I just want you to know that God works through people, and God has worked through people in my life, humble people, servants, loving people. And I want to be that kind of people that God can use, and I want you to be that kind of people that God can use, the kind of church that God can use. He wants to use you. Sometimes he uses our prayers. I think it good when Christians come to an altar and pray. I think it good. I like what one preacher friend of mine said. Here's what he said. The fire of God never falls on an empty altar. You catch what I mean? The fire of God never falls on an empty altar. When the fire of God falls, it's where an altar is full of people that pray, that have others on their heart, that love people, that love the Lord, and are humble enough to come and kneel before others and pray and seek God's face for a need, whatever it might be. And God wants to do that even tonight. If you're not saved and God is dealing with you, you know he's dealt with you before. You know you need to get the thing settled. Why don't you get it settled tonight, today? Just get it settled this afternoon. I'm going to come and I'm going to make sure once and for all, I know I'm going to heaven, because the Bible says you can know you're going to heaven.
Amen.
And then for those of you that are saved and you know it, if God is dealing with you about something else, maybe it's others, or maybe it's in your own life, It'd be good for you to come and pray and seek the face of God. Let's do what the Lord says. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you so much for my Savior. Lord, I love you dearly.